Well, this is it, guys. Somehow, it feels like we've done quite a few podcasts, but it always feels like it kind of creeps up on me as well. Game week one is here. So here's your first reminder. And I think I've said this before, but if you're going to miss any deadline all season, don't let it be this one because you'll be on the back foot immediately. So your first deadline is Friday, the 21st. Is the 21st, isn't it? Yeah, 21st of August at 6:30 p.m. That is before the season opener between the champions Arsenal and newly promoted Coventry. So, yeah. Great to be back, officially back. And also, Jules, great to have you back. And someone, as we looked on, said, this tan is ridiculously light. You've just been on loads of sunbeds. I
think. Yeah, we had a lot of good sun in France. You know, I think we had sun everywhere, to be fair, but it was good to be on holidays. It's time to be back now for FPL, for the Premier League, for all European leagues. The Champions League is coming soon, everything. So it's very exciting.
We were just grateful you told us the day before that your Wi-Fi wasn't working. Normally on the way back from Champions League games, we get it at 7:30 in the morning ahead of 8 a.m. starts. We were very relieved it all went seamlessly, but we did miss you, of course.
I missed you too.
Hopefully you've been sorting that team out. And Sam, I know you will definitely have been sorting that team out, tinkering a lot.
Yeah, I think I'm nearly there though, Kels. Like last week, I felt like I was still a bit up in the air. This week, I do feel like it's just my defence. I cannot settle on a defence. They change every 5 minutes. So, but the forward line, the midfielders and the goalkeepers, I haven't really changed at all for a while now. So I think
forwards,
that probably
your midfield's
means...
changed a bit though, hasn't it?
Changed on, well, one of the positions changed on Sunday, yeah. But outside of that, most of them have been quite static for a while. One move here or there, but I do feel like I've pretty much locked those in now for game week one. So it's just deciding on the defence, and there's so many I like. I think that's the problem this season.
Tell you
is
what,
the,
hold that thought. Because,
yeah, we will help you. Don't worry. We will.
Because we're going to help you. We're going to come on to the drafts very soon. And I don't want people going, tell us your draft, because there's a couple of things that I want to talk about before then. Because the Community Shield, other preseason matches will have played into the changes that Sam's made, the changes that I've made, and probably the changes that Jules has made as well. The reason I'm saying Sam and mine is because we've got a very similar looking attack without knowing it. We were asked to post our team in the group last night and neither of us knew we were going to be as similar as we were. Anyway, the Community Shield had a massive impact on my thinking because I've been a Bukayo Saka kind of convert, wanted him the whole way through. I have kind of said, I know he's a lot of money and he probably was going to go. And the Community Shield actually sealed it for me because, Jules, the player that you said and you've had in your draft all season, I mean, he's now going to be ridiculously owned, isn't he? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I think the name. Yeah, Christos Tsolis, who is the new winger Arsenal, who came to replace Leo Trossard, who obviously left in the summer, who was very good last season in Belgium, but to make that step up from the Belgian league, where he was arguably the best player there, to the Premier League and to a team like Arsenal, the champions, and everything that comes along with that. Although he knows a little bit English football because he had a spell at Norwich, not a great spell, but when he was a bit younger. But he was outstanding in that game, not in a too flashy way, I thought, but very much in a, I know exactly what I'm here for and do my job, both with the ball and without the ball, defensively and offensively, all of that. And obviously he becomes, I think, very attractive for a lot of managers because you know he's going to start on that left-hand side unless they sign another left winger and then there's a bit of competition. But right now, the only competition really is Gabriel Martinelli, who's not really in the picture for Mikel Arteta and Arsenal right now. So with Solis, you almost guaranteed the minutes, you guaranteed, like we said, a lot of activity on that left-hand side, and clearly his partnership with Calafiori behind him and potentially a midfielder like Bruno Guimaraes with Declan Rice or Miles Lewis-Skelly is already very promising. So I think Solis has to be, although I changed him, but he has to be on top of a lot of managers' lists.
So you've not got him now as it stands?
No, because I thought Martin Odegaard looked even better. And yeah. I do think that as good as Solis might be, I still think there will be a bit of time where he will need to adapt to the Premier League. This was one game against City where everything went his way. Whereas I think Odegaard looks so sharp and he's the leader of this team with and without the ball. And I think the goal that he scored shows that he's probably back very close to the best level that he had a few years ago when he had that wonderful season. So I went back and forth between the two and I think they're the same price. And in the end, I chose Odegaard. But I think Solis makes a lot of sense as well.
Yeah, it does look like Odegaard's back to his best. He had a brilliant World Cup as well, doesn't he? And it does look like his momentum has kind of carried forward if he can stay fit and at that level, he definitely is a good option and someone we haven't spoken about too much on this pod or in FPL for quite some time. Sam, so yourself and I have gone for Solis now. Is that a set definite for you? Because I'm not 100% at the moment because I've had to take out Pascal Gross, though I think that Brighton's transfer business has also played into that for me a little bit because I think their new striker, I've completely forgotten his name as we're sitting here now.
Promise.
That was her. quite an easy one to remember. Has maybe lessened his appeal a little bit, potentially. So that made it a bit easier to move. But I like the fact that Pascal Gross is a million cheaper. So I could still go there. But for you, is he definitely in your team?
Yeah, as I was saying last week when we did this podcast, I don't like starting the season without an Arsenal attacker, especially given the opening fixture. And I didn't want to pay the money to have Bukayo Saka. And I wasn't at that point sure about anybody else in that Arsenal attack and whether it was worth going for them. And then the Community Shield played out. I mean, it changed my mind entirely on everything that I was planning to do with Arsenal, to be honest. And I think for 6.5, it gives you a really nice option on that left-hand side that we can go to. I don't need somebody that I'm necessarily going to hold for 10, 12 weeks. It's just somebody to kind of get through the early parts of the season. And I'm probably happy to transfer him out kind of game week 3, possibly maybe even before that. So it's just an opportunity to go with a player that's got a great fixture on Friday evening, good attacking throughout. We saw him do well in the Community Shield and gets me a buy into that Arsenal attack as a means of being able to look and just see what looks better elsewhere, if anything. If he looks great and continues to play well, then he can stay. It's just one of those nice, easy ins, I think, for Friday.
I think so. It's interesting.
So I was going to say, Solis is owned by almost 20% of the managers. Odegaard is still a differential at 6.5%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Solis went up massively because he was owned by like 4% ahead of the Community Shield. So it was a massive differential at that stage. And then obviously Community Shield happens and like Kels and I, the world and its wife decides that they want him in their FPL teams.
I've been telling you for weeks, you know.
You have, saying. Yeah.
But you've been telling us, and now you've taken him out, and now we're following. But
I know because
I hate to be too influenced by you, Jules. But actually, I just checked then while Sam was talking, and I hadn't realised Odegaard was actually only 6.5. I had in my head that he was a little bit more. He hasn't really come into my thinking, but actually, Sam, everything, and I hate saying this, that Jules has just said there makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Say that again. I could not hear. It broke when you said.
If you need to read back, just listen back. I'm not repeating it.
But you know what? I could not believe, before Sam goes, I could not believe they were the same price. I didn't think.
Well, that's what just surprised me. I just looked it up and thought, well, absolutely. I can't get to Odegaard. I can. And actually, Sam, and as Jules said, then that's a big ownership difference. I mean, the flip side, and we've talked about that at this stage of the season, that if Solis goes off, it can affect you. But actually, Odegaard's got a lot more. I know he's had injury issues and he's not always been in the team for regular runs, but he's got a lot more history behind him to show that he can perform in this Arsenal team.
Yeah, absolutely. And ownership is a really important thing heading into game week 1, because obviously, when the people are most engaged, when the whole audience is at their most engaged, people make really quick, rash decisions. And the fact that Arsenal play on Friday night, we will see whoever it is, and there will be somebody in the Arsenal team that goes off and scores really well, we will see a massive influx of people buying them on Friday evening after the deadline ahead of game week 2. And that will mean that people rise and fall very quickly in price. So one of the negatives about owning players that are more heavily owned is that if they don't do something in that first, second game week, they'll be heavily sold, and therefore your potential to lose money on them is higher. Whereas if you go for somebody that's more lowly owned, there's less people that can potentially sell them, and then obviously it's maybe less likely that they're going to drop in price. So that is definitely something I consider. It's also something that I consider when I'm thinking about what might happen in the early weeks. Like if you remember last season, I decided in my infinite wisdom to start the season without João Pedro, who was really heavily owned at the time and did incredibly well. And I really struggled with not having him, because every time he does something, it obviously has a negative effect on your ownership. So it can play out both ways, because if they are popular in the game and then do well and you don't have them, that's going to hurt in terms of the way that your season begins. Whereas if they are popular and don't start the season that well, they'll likely take tumbles in price, and then that affects your team value. So you have to just weigh all of those things up when it comes to making your decisions.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, I think. But Odegaard's definitely a name that I've probably not heard as much but maybe we will in the next few hours before this deadline. Elsewhere, I think the defence is, well, Jules, it's just a bit of a minefield, isn't it, to know where to go. As it stands in my draft, I've got Ezri Konsa. Listeners will know I've had him for a few weeks now. That's probably going to change just because, yes, great, I'm going to have a 4.5 million Arsenal defender. We don't quite know when he'll feature. But yeah, what does this mean for the rest of the defence?
Yeah, I mean, we saw some interesting things, let's say, at the Community Shield. Again, the form of Calafiori, while he's fit, was outstanding because he's just not a left back. He pops up everywhere on that pitch, sort of great goal, could have had another one. Like, is, I think there's that kind of value if you want to go with Calafiori in your defense at 5.5, which is the same price as Mosquera, for example, who is just a centre back. So you will get this, you will get the same points defensively, let's say, more or less, with Calafiori than you get with Mosquera, but you get much more going forward from Calafiori. And Gabriel was there. He was solid. But as we said, I think a couple of weeks ago, and you probably said last week as well on the show, he's 8 million. That's 2.5 more than Calafiori, for example. And yet Gabriel would be great on set pieces, but there was not much of from the set piece routine with Arsenal in that Community Shield against City, for example. So that's all of that to keep in mind. Ben White was our right back, but as we said, Konsa, as we're expecting, will be an Arsenal player quite soon. We don't know exactly, you're right, Kels, when he's going to play because he hasn't really had a proper preseason, hasn't played a single minute with Aston Villa in that preseason, for example, post World Cup too. So he might need a bit of time to get ready and fit and match fit, certainly to play with Arsenal. But once he's there, again, we will have the conversation, do we bring Konsa as an Arsenal defender or not? And then we saw a great David Raya who had probably two saves to make and he made them really, really well. And again, you start thinking, is he worth spending that money on Raya? Because it looks like, again, he's going to be the best goalkeeper in the league.
Is he worth it, Jules? What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you can get there, if you have the money, I see nothing wrong with a double goalkeeper and defender from Arsenal at all in your team. But at 6.5, he's expensive for a goalkeeper.
Sam, where are you settling on the Arsenal kind of defensive double up even?
So I'm that person that spent the Community Shield counting defensive contributions and trying to weigh up the balance between having somebody that might bring defensive contributions and having somebody like Calafiori who might bring you goals and attacking returns. And it was a really tough one because like, even Gabriel didn't hit defensive contributions in this one. He would have got seven, so wouldn't have hit the threshold. Mosquera, he got two across the game. Calafiori got one, so you're not going to get them from them. Ben White was the defensive contribution king in this one. He hit 12, so he would have hit the extra points. And obviously, as Jules mentioned, Raya would have picked up a save point. So you had a little bit of upside from both of those. But Calafiori obviously had 27 attacking touches. Like, that's ridiculous for a defender. So having been on Mosquera the whole of preseason, the lack of defensive contributions in this one, in a game where actually I sometimes expect more because you're more likely to get defensive contributions in games against the other bigger attacking clubs because obviously they attack. The fact he only got two has put me off. And yes, you know, maybe there's a little bit more rotation threat with Calafiori, but I think with that, every time Arsenal had the ball and they were pressurising City, he was involved. So I think I'm going to start the season with him now, which is a complete U-turn from where I was this time last week.
Yeah, well, I've been between the two of them the whole way through and actually kind of helped me seeing that game. I'm kind of set on Calafiori now, I think. And also, of course, Saka, Rice not starting. I mean, we didn't expect them to start, Jules, did we?
No.
And it probably means that investing in them at this point is a bit tricky, isn't it? Because we don't... I mean, you imagine they'll start at the weekend, do you?
Yeah, I think Saka maybe more than Rice. I mean, both of them had a very long season last year.
Rice looked, didn't he, by that last game?
Yeah.
Whereas Saka looked like he was reaching a peak fitness, whereas Rice, by the end of that last game, could... I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying, because he'd probably admit he could barely walk, it looked like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree completely. And so, I don't know. I think both of them are obviously in contention. And if you're Arsenal and Mikel Arteta, you would want your strongest team to start the season. But you also know it's going to be a very long season. Don't take any risk early. They've got great depth in their squad now and all of that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Madueke started, for example, ahead of Saka on Friday night. Rice is also, for me, not going to start on Friday night because, again, you could easily see Mikel Arteta starting the same team that started against City, against Coventry on Friday, and that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it would. What about Man City then, Sam? Because I saw a lot of their ownership dropped. A lot more no Haaland drafts appeared, didn't they? Where are we at with this? Because, I mean, I've got Vardiol, and I think I'll start with him, but it did make me go, oh, I don't know if this is the wisest move.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I went into the Community Shield with three Manchester City players and came out of it with just one. Haaland, I just won't compromise on. I think it's one of those, isn't it, where I just can't see any value in not starting him, because if he doesn't start well, okay, 70% of the game have him. And so then you're all in the same boat. And all right, you don't get that little bit of upside. But we do know that historically Erling Haaland is incredible in August. He starts the seasons really, really well. So I'm not prepared to take that risk. The other two that I had going into it were Gvardiol and Phil Foden. And it's a tough one because it is one game in preseason and that shouldn't necessarily overtake all of the rest of our thinking and what we've seen across the rest of preseason. But you can't help but feel like, well, going into this one, you would have expected a good performance from Manchester City. We didn't get one. Partly that's because Arsenal played incredibly well, and they won't face Arsenal every week. But it did put me off. And given that there are other teams who have better fixtures or are in better form going into those fixtures to start the season and are roughly the same price as the Manchester City assets, I kind of decided that maybe the best point of call for me would be to invest in like Manchester United instead in the opening couple of weeks. It gives me a couple of weeks then to watch Manchester City to work out, is it Phil Foden? Is it somebody else that I'd like to have supporting Haaland in my FPL attack from them? Is it Gvardiol, or do I actually just need to find the budget? Because last season, Nico O'Reilly was brilliant, but it wasn't really because of his clean sheet potential. It was because of how attacking he was, whereas City weren't hugely brilliant in terms of their defending last season. So I'm just erring on the side of caution, I think, with Manchester City going into this one. I'll start with Haaland, and then I'll use the opening couple of game weeks as an opportunity to just watch, gain some understanding about how they're going to play under Maresca, and then pick out a couple more Manchester City assets before we hit game week three.
Okay, let's move on to the other pre-season matches, because although the Community Shield's the headline and felt the most serious of them all, there were some big wins for the likes of Brentford, for Leeds. I mean, Brighton won. Newcastle lost again, didn't they? And I know they then went on to draw as well. I'm not going to go through all of the results. Obviously, another headline, by the way, AC Milan beating Man United 4-2. But where did some of the other games, Jules, maybe leave your thinking when it came to your team?
I thought, and I'm not saying that because obviously Sam is here, but I thought Spurs looked really good against Hoffenheim in that 3-0 win at home. Like Matisse Thel, for example. I liked Andrew Robertson. Mikey Moore played really well and scored two goals. I thought Bergvall was good. So there was a lot of positives, I thought, against a team that was not played really well last season and even qualified for the Champions League, but didn't really seem ready. And they have another week, by the way, in Germany before their league starts. Their league doesn't start this weekend like us here in England. I thought Dominic Calvert-Lewin did really well, and Leeds looked good as well in their win against Augsburg. Augsburg, again, not as much fit probably as Leeds United for the reason I just explained. Liverpool against Como, and Jeremy Jacquet, the young French centre-back who we really saw for the first time in this kind of environment against the Champions League team, was outstanding from start to finish, really, in the time that he played, in the half that he played against the Italian side. And I think it's a name that we need to keep in mind because the Liverpool fixtures are decent. And if you can't get to Virgil van Dijk, I think Jacquet, who will play, is very interesting and even scored. And then another good performance, I thought, from Chelsea, from João Pedro and Xabi Alonso's side against Real Sociedad in their 3-1 win. So there was a lot of really positive things from a lot, I thought, of the Premier League side.
Sam?
Yeah, I was at Spurs on Saturday afternoon. Van Heck hit Defcon in that 1-12 from him in a game where Hoffenheim weren't really that attacking. And that really swayed me because I thought, well, if you're going to pick up 12 defensive contribution points in a game where you're facing a side that actually didn't do a huge amount of attacking, then that bodes well for the Premier League games when you are going to get teams that do a lot of attacking. Jules mentioned Robbo. I thought he was excellent. And with Udogie not in those final two preseason squads, it looks like he's going to be the one to start the season at left back. He was very good and starting to build a nice relationship with Tell down that side. I was also super impressed with Brentford. I mean, it was a really, really good performance from them. Sangare, who we were all expecting to be a defensive contributions king for us in midfield this season, popping up with his first Brentford goal, which was good. Thiago, a couple of goals and an assist for this one. Now, and he's played two preseason matches and he's got an attacking return in both of them. So he's definitely one that we've kind of all ruled out because he feels expensive on the back of last season, but maybe we shouldn't have. I was also impressed by Kevin Sharder in this one. Couple of goals, couple of assists from him. But that is every attacking return that he's had in preseason came in this one. So we kind of should tamper it. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, as Jules mentioned, he's now got an attacking return every 43 minutes throughout preseason. So if he carries on at that rate, then we could have another fantastic season out of him. So yeah, some really interesting performances. Brighton with a clean sheet, that'll make Verbruggen increasingly popular, I think, as well. Manchester United, another learning point. We were all kind of sat there wondering whether who was going to be the person that Bruno Fernandes would aim at without Casemiro there. And quite early on in this one, we seemed to get the nod that it might be Harry Maguire, who then rose massively in popularity as a result of that goal. But again, we haven't had the clean sheet from them. So you have to kind of, the Luke Shaw owners maybe need to consider whether it's worth the investment in the Manchester United defence, given that they do regularly concede the odd goal and he doesn't have as much potential upside as you get for spending the extra on Harry Maguire.
As someone that is a Luke Shaw owner and is desperate to find 0.5 to get to Maguire, I feel that pain completely. And that brings us on nicely to our drafts. People have probably got a good idea of where we're at from some of the things that we have said so far. Plenty of changes for all of us, actually, which shows that it's getting serious. Jules, do you want to run through your team so far?
Yeah, so I changed one of the goalkeepers. I kept Verbruggen, but I went from Kingsley to Lammens because I just think the first two United fixtures against Hull City and Ipswich are just very good from a United point of view, not just for Lammens in goal, but also for the rest of the team. I would love to be able to get to Mbeumo, for example, because I think he's going to be great, certainly at the start of the season. And I thought Lammens and Verbruggen rotates actually quite well for the first few weeks of the season. Defensively, I had Mosquera like a lot of us and then moved that to Calafiori. I put Robertson instead of Konsa for a 4.5 million defender. I thought Robertson is a really good pick. Konsa would have been great, but as we said, with the move, imminent move to Arsenal, it's a bit different. Gvardiol is still the other three can main defender, the third main defender, sorry. And then I've got Van Herwijk and Diop as the kind of backup cheap £4 million defenders. In midfield, nothing has changed apart from the Solis to Odegaard, but I still have Lefebvre, NDI, Rodgers and Bruno, obviously. And up front is still Haaland, Joao Pedro and Brobby, but in my head, Brobby and Calvert-Lewin are the same price for now. I like Brobby's first fixtures in Ipswich and Fulham, but Calvert-Lewin is calling me in my head saying like, please, bring me in. I'm in the form of my life. Like, how can you not play me? And Leeds have Forest and Brentford, which are also two decent fixtures to have. So it would be either Brobby or Calvert-Lewin probably starting the season.
So you're still on the Chelsea double up in the attack?
Yeah, I think Joao Pedro looked amazing in preseason in those games. And I think Rodgers, I think this is a system that would suit Rodgers. I think he would be great for Xabi Alonso. I think Chelsea would have a really good season anyway. So I think if you don't get them now, you will get them at some point, whether it's them two or Eko Palmer or an attacking fullback, I don't know, anything. But I think Chelsea would be very good.
And Dye as well. He's been in every draft you've had, hasn't he?
Yeah, because again, I saw a couple of what Everton did. I think especially without Grealish now, he would be the main threat going forwards, like he was after Grealish got injured last season. And if you remember last season, especially if you don't count really AFCON, there was a time where Grealish was the main focus going forward for Everton. And as soon as he was not there anymore, he became NDI, and NDI had a really good end of the season. So I think he would pick up where he left it with great momentum. He worked really hard in the summer. I think there was a chance for him to go to a bigger club, maybe. That didn't happen, or certainly not for now. But I think NDI could have a really good season.
Sam, you got any thoughts on George's team?
It's great, isn't it?
I don't love the extra money spent on the goalkeepers. Like, that just feels like a waste of money. Because realistically, unless you plan for a really early wild card, you're then stuck spending that extra bit of money on a goalkeeper pairing.
It's only 0.5 though.
Yeah, but that 0.5 gets you from Morgan Rogers to Mbeumo to start the season. Like, and I think you could then have, you could get, you can, like, I think there's opportunities where using 0.5 in the early weeks to target in on fixtures feels like a sensible thing to do. And then you can obviously change. I would not be starting the season without Dominic Calvert-Lewin either. So again, I'd take the 0.5 out of the goalies and put it in him.
Okay. Sam, run us through your team then.
The pair of pink goalkeepers remain. So Verbruggen and Kinski, they're going to be blocked in now pretty much. I did have a moment of like, can I make Raya work? But I do have to spend the extra money in order to do that, because the minimum you spend with Raya obviously then is 10, because you need a 4.0 to go alongside him, whereas these two combined are 9, and I value the extra 1 million across the rest of the team. The defence is all over the place. It constantly moves. So Calafiori and Van Heck both came in after their performances at the weekend. I like the idea of the DEFCONs out of Van Heck, and Calafiori's attacking threat just feels like a bit of a no-brainer to start the season. Currently on Joe Roden, would like to find the extra 0.5 for Maharimovic instead. I really like him. Again, DEFCON threat feels like it's stronger from him than from Roden. So I would like to find that money, but I just don't have it right now. And then a rotating pair of Thomas, and I'm currently back with Leif Davis. I don't, like, he's done that to me again, where he scored some goals in pre-season and I've gone, oh yeah, I remember how much I like you. You can come in my team. Whether that stays or whether I go back to Diop remains to be seen, but a couple of 4.0s. The midfield pretty much remains unchanged. So Bruno Fernandes, Mbeumo, Szoboszlai, Sangare, and then Solis came in after the weekend. And then the front three that everybody seems to have apart from Jules of João Pedro, Haaland and Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, it does feel very similar, that front. I reckon Jules is going to end up with
he will.
Calvert-Lewin, yeah, won't you?
I like Brobby. His score against Rennes was outstanding in the last preseason game that Sunderland had, you know, so...
28% owned though, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
I know. Risky. I think Brobby is 20 or 18, so there's not much difference between the two. I think both, both are really good options for the start of the season.
Okay. Jules, you got any thoughts on Sam's team? Only fair I flip the question back.
Yeah, I think it's poor. It's really average. I don't think she's worked hard on this, really. But no, it's outstanding. And I get the 0.5 difference. And yeah, it would get me to Mbeumo for Rogers. And I've been tempted. I think Mbeumo is going to be
for the first
wonderful.
2 weeks. Because yeah. My theory is I'll have him for 2 weeks and then I'll switch to Morgan Rogers afterwards.
Yeah, it's very possible. Although Sesko is back training and Mbeumo played as a 9 in preseason because Sesko was out with that little injury that he had. So... is the Sesko return changing a little bit where Mbeumo will play? I would rather Mbeumo plays as a 9 because he would get us, obviously, more points, more goals, etc., than if he was playing on the right-hand side, let's say. So it'd be interesting to see what Carrick does this weekend for the United game away at Hull City. But yeah, I think it's a great team.
I mean, I've got him in my mind, but I do wonder if he's a bit of a... Am I being a bit of a sheep? Is he a bit of a trap? I don't know. I'm not...
I don't think he can be for the first 2 weeks. Like,
he's 33% owned as well. That's high.
And we're talking about the first 2 weeks, right, against Hull and Ipswich. I don't see Sesko coming in and taking all of his minutes straight away. He's barely had a pre-season. He needs to get fitness again. Yeah, we might see a bit of rotation in terms of where he plays on the pitch. But I think in terms of owning him for 2 weeks to start the season against two newly promoted teams, he feels pretty good, to be honest. Like, if you wanted to hold him for 10 weeks, then maybe it's a concern. But
I think I just hate... the short-term picks. I'm not very good at that at the beginning of the season. You know, I like leaving my wild cards and stuff later. But it just feels strange to me to only pick for a few weeks. But maybe at the beginning of the season, after a World Cup, et cetera, is the most sensible thing. Because it does also feel like there's still a lot of transfer business to be done at a lot of clubs as well. Okay, then this is my team. And as I said, I've got Ezri Konsa on my bench, but that will change. Kinski and Dubravka are my two goalkeepers, purely because I can't afford rotating goalkeepers. Sure, because I can't afford Maguire, Gvardiol, Calafiori. I think those two are set at least. Or at my midfield, this is my starting team, by the way. Mbeumo, Fernandes, Szoboszlai, Solis. And then up front, hasn't changed for a few weeks now. Calvert-Lewin, Haaland, João Pedro. And then on my bench, I've got Sangare, Konsa, as I mentioned, and Diop. So yeah, there is potential that Solis could change. I think I'll stick with him. I don't like not having Pascal Gross, although I was quite pleased when Bryson signed Promise because at least it gave me a reason to get rid of him. And yeah, it's quite similar to yours actually, Sam, isn't it? It's not that that attack is pretty similar.
Yeah, I was just trying to work out what was different that meant that you couldn't have the rotating goalkeepers.
So we've got the same front starting seven. Maybe Gvardiol?
Yeah, because I've got Van. It must be the 0.5 from Van Heek.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just can't quite do a Spurs defensive double up.
Van Heek is five, yeah. And
I understand that. I'm not sure I can do the Spurs defensive double up yet. It feels all kinds of weird, but yeah, that must be why. I think we all traditionally like to build a squad. Not everybody does that. Some people just go, oh, I'm putting all my money in my starting 11 and I'm going to, you know, that's just how I'm going to be. I like the comfort of having a 15-man squad, but I also like, and we saw from Sunderland last year, that there's always some really good value in the 4.0 defenders, and you're not going to play them hardly ever anyway, because you're mostly going to play 3-4-3. So if you're going to play 3-4-3 most weeks, given the setup that we've all got, then having the extra 0.5 sitting on your bench in the defenders, that's why I've got the rotating 4.0s, just because it makes me feel like I've got less value just wasting there. And I'm inevitably going to be on the wrong 4.0s, but at least it's an easy move when you wild card to get on the right ones.
Did we not change our opinion of defenders though? And like, I know we're all starting with 3-4-3, but it felt like last season with Defcon, we were playing a back four more. That also is probably in my thinking, because I've always been a player back three until last season.
I think that was more to do with the forwards though, wasn't it, last season as well?
Yeah,
like the forwards last year were just not very good and we didn't have that many of them. Like you had obviously Haaland and João Pedro and Calvert-Lewin at times was great. And it was like, sometimes you had Bowen, sometimes you had Thiago, but nobody seemed to kind of find that rhythm, and weren't getting loads of points out of them, and the defenders were racking up more points. So, but if you think about the defenders that racked up a lot of points last season, Sunderland's did really, really well in the 4.0 bracket. So there wasn't necessarily a reason to have to spend, we didn't have to spend premium budget on defenders. I think that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, we saw a lot of good value in the fives and the fours and the 4.5s last year. So I'm hoping we get a replication of that this year too.
Okay, so we're all going with Erling Haaland. I don't think any of us have considered going without him, but can you understand, Jules, the people that aren't, particularly after Community Shield?
So I can see the thinking, because he was not great. He had one chance that usually he would bury and didn't. The fact that he started that game, considering he had played 0 second, as much as us three in pre-season before, was a bit strange, I thought, from Maresca. I know it's a Community Shield. I know it's a first, well, it's either a first trophy if you win it, or it's a glorified preseason game if you don't win it. But why starting him then, considering he was clearly very short of match fitness because he hadn't played a single minute in any matches before, is a bit weird. So I think he will get there, obviously, because he's Erling Haaland. But to go back to the point that Sam made earlier, he's usually very good in August. He's very sharp in August straight away. This might be a little bit different. He might need a couple of games to get that sharpness back in a way, and the match fitness that he needs to score a lot of goals back. So just be wary. Just know that he, before the Community Shield, he had not played at all in pre-season. He'd been training, but I say he had longer holidays because of the World Cup and how far Norway went. So that might be a little bit different. Maybe for this Bournemouth home game at the Etihad, you know, on Sunday this weekend, he might not look against great sharp, but too sharp. But I think you have to keep him simply for the ownership, because even if he scores one goal, 70% have him, and if you have a replacement that doesn't score, then you're in trouble already. So keep him, of course, because he's Erling Haaland. But maybe just keep in mind that the first couple of games might not be his best.
Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to run through. I think we've spoken about most of the popular picks, but just a quick word on Szoboszlai, Sam. He stayed in pretty much both of our teams, would you say, throughout? I think he has, hasn't he?
Yeah, I've not taken him out at all during the whole of preseason. No. He's been in every draft.
But that is despite Wirtz playing in the 10. Have you had any consideration? I know there's the 0.5 difference.
There's the 0.5 difference, but to be honest, that's been less of a concern to me. I can find 0.5 by taking stuff around. And I do like Wirtz in the 10, and there is definitely a case for doubling up on Liverpool, given the fixtures that they have in the early week and having both of them. And I have pondered on that. And that is something that I might look to do after the 2 weeks of Mbeumo. If we don't see great stuff from Morgan Rodgers in the opening couple of weeks, then obviously the move to Wirtz could be on as well. I just like the fact that Szoboszlai didn't have a World Cup this summer, was with the manager throughout all of pre-season, and obviously new manager, it's nice to have that opportunity. I think we'll probably see him in a double pivot, and that might mean we get increased amount of defensive contribution points from him this season, as well as then attacking threat from set pieces, which we see a lot from Dominic Szoboszlai. So whilst he might not be playing in the 10 that Wirtz is really close to Isak and therefore likely to pick up attacking returns from goals in particular, I do think we'll see a lot of assists out of Szoboszlai. And if you get a lot of assists alongside defensive contribution points, alongside the goal threat from set pieces, I just like Szoboszlai's route to points a little bit more. So I'm going to start the season with him. If it's a mistake, then it's a really easy move to go from Szoboszlai to Wirtz. It's just 0.5 to find. Or if they both start well, which is what I'm expecting might happen, then I might look to double up on them, because doubling up on them with Isak, one of them with Isak, is quite tough because Isak's expensive at 9 and it's going to be hard to find that money. But to get Wirtz and Szoboszlai in a team together is actually quite easy to do.
Okay. I won't run through every single player that we could have had that we don't have, because we don't have time. So sorry if you're listening to this, Sam. Why haven't you spoken about Semenyo? I was going to, but we don't have time. Let's move on to differential of the week, because we've had a few pods, but now it's finally time to pick one. A reminder, a differential, if you're a new listener, is owned by less than 10%. Each week, Sam and Jules pick out one just for this game week, and then we tally it up over the course of the season and see who comes out on top. No prizes at all at the end of the season. Is there a prize, actually? No, there's not, is there? It's just pride.
Pride, just pride.
Yeah. I let her win Jules. Anyway, so
Jules is absolutely useless.
Come on now.
So this has to be your year. So we're going to let you go first, Jules, in the hope that we can give you a little leg up. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a few options, but I went for Kai Havertz. Simon Amina, hey, waka, no. Waka, hey, 60 million down the drain. Kai Havertz scores again. 75 million, so okay, I know it's a bit expensive. Only less than 5% owned, which is a proper, really good differential, not the ones that I, like Sam usually finds at 9.99999%.
Oh, come on.
Coventry at home, he was good in the Community Shield with the goal he scored, although he was helped by Donnarumma, helping him massively by being really bad. But I just like Kai Havertz, and he's really cool as well. So go for Kai Havertz.
Okay.
He's
thanks,
really
but...
cool. It's not a reason.
He's super
to pick
cool.
Him.
One of the coolest guys in the Premier League.
Sam?
So all the talk of Liverpool, I thought I'd go there. I fancy them to start the season well, and Newcastle haven't been in great form during pre-season either. But actually, a lot of their players that you would look to go with, the Szoboszlais, the Virgils, the Isaks, the Verts, they're all over. So I'm going to go with somebody I'm expecting to play on the left for this one, but might not be there in a few weeks' time, and that's Cody Gakpo. Let's see what happens with him and the rest of the transfer window. But I've been really impressed with him in Liverpool's pre-season fixtures, particularly the one against Como at the weekend. He got a goal and an assist in that one. He's also got a really good record against Newcastle in FPL. He's played against them 7 times, scored 2 goals and got 2 assists. And over those fixtures that he's played, those 7 games, he's registered 29 FPL points, which is an average of 4.1 per match. So I'm expecting him to do quite well this time around. And then I had a look back at him and his involvement in Liverpool last season. So when he was on the pitch last season during 25-26 season, he was directly involved in 31% of Liverpool's chances. So be that goal threat or creating the chance, but that was the leading number, the most of any Liverpool player when they were playing. So I think he could be a nice differential for the opening couple of weeks. Whether you would go with him outside of Szoboszlai or Wirtz, I'm not sure, but as far as differentials go, at 7 million and owned by just Jules, 3.6%, so not 9.999, he could do well.
We can already
still not
see
as cool as Kai Havertz, though.
We can see he did more research on stats and everything for their differential this week.
I didn't
we?
Have a song either.
yeah, but.
Do you want me to sing again?
No.
Nope. Captains. No. This is tricky because I think there's 2 candidates here, 2 standouts, isn't there, in terms of Bruno
and Haaland? I think there's 3.
Who's your third, and Mbeumo?
What? All right, 4.
Or an Arsenal.
João Pedro.
João Pedro would be the other one.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I like João Pedro. I
thought of him.
Because it's Monday night as well. João Pedro against Fulham on Monday night could be fun.
Yeah, in a derby.
Well, where are we going?
I mean, Haaland's obvious, but I really like Bruno. I would really like to captain Bruno. I just don't know if I've got the courage in game week 1 to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Right now it's on João Pedro for me. But it can change easily, I think. Would you go for Haaland, considering the form that we've seen from him and City at the Community Shield? But it's a Bournemouth team with a new manager in Marco Rose, who could really go and get spanked at the Etihad easily. And Haaland, you know, still did well despite not being fully sharp and fully match fit. So I think it's a tricky one. Usually we're pretty set for the start of the season, aren't we? And this time there's too many options.
None of us want to commit, do we? I can tell. I'm just waiting for someone to go, I'm captaining Haaland.
I've been on Bruno for weeks, like literally the last couple of weeks. My captain's armband's been sitting on Bruno. I normally like to captain somebody in a home fixture. So Bruno's away, Jal Pedro's away. Haaland's the obvious choice from that perspective. But Haaland doesn't have, he doesn't have the form in the same way that the other two do.
Yeah.
I am really, I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think I will make a decision on this really last minute. So if I'm feeling brave on Friday night, it'll be with Bruno or Jal Pedro.
Is now,
if
is I'm now not, the time to be brave though, Sam? Do we just play it safe at this stage?
That is a really good question because no, realistically, starting the season calmly and just having a good start is the most important thing. So going against the player that I know is the most, he's the most heavily owned and will be the most captained, is not sensible. That is not the sensible play. The sensible play is just to give it to Haaland and forget about it. But there's a little, like the devil on my shoulder just goes, just give yourself a, it could give yourself a head start by captaining one of the other two if they do more than Haaland. If Haaland had done anything in the Community Shield, I think I'd have just sat here and gone, I'm captaining Haaland, and that's that.
Would have been
easy. But he didn't.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, then we'll, safe to say we're as uncertain as ever. It's normally just Jules that doesn't have a clue, but neither of us do. But we've made a bit of an argument for all of them, haven't we? Okay, then, so it's going to be an interesting, we're recording this between 8 and 9 on Thursday morning in our usual slot. We've got, what, 36 hours or so, or less than that, to go until the deadline. How set would you say you are, Jules?
80%, like say, Brobbey, Calvert-Lewin, there's maybe something around Lefebvre to do. Sam has put in my head to not go for Lammens and go for Kinski and spend that 0.5 somewhere else. So we'll see. But I think Joao Pedro will stay captain just to be different. And I think Brobbey might stay just to be different as well and see how this weekend goes.
We'll see. Sam, how set are you? It just seems like you've got a lot of defensive problems.
Yeah, I'm locked in on the goalkeepers. I'm locked in on midfield and forward line. It is literally just the decisions around the defence. Calafiori and Thomas are definitely there. It's the other three. So I basically got three players that I need to work out what I'm doing with. So I'm nearly there.
Okay. I don't know if I'm nearly there. I never know. I think I am. Probably one or two players still to sort. Definitely the Ezri Konsa spot. And hopefully that can magically make Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire. Now, reminds the fancy shall be back as well this week. I've got Praz and Az in the studio with me for that one. So that will be available on the Premier League website, app and various TV channels around the world. There's also plenty of other really good content on the Premier League website and app to keep you amused and to help you out right up until that 6:30 p.m. deadline. And a reminder, I should have said this earlier in the pod as well, the Mini League is active once again. If you do want to play against us, the code is Q0HV1Q. So yeah, do join that. It's always good to have loads of you in there and we can track your progress and we will highlight people having good weeks throughout the season. 6:30. Don't forget it. Good luck, guys. We'll see you next week.